Our gospel lesson is Mark 13, verses 24 to 37. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light. The stars will be falling, the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out all the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. About that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to be with us now. Be with us in this time and place and pour out your Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds that we might hear and know you. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the news lately seems a little apocalyptic. So much hurt, violence, corruption, destruction. It's not surprising that some wonder if we're getting close to the end, to the end time, to the last days on earth. And Mark 13 is about that. It's known as the little apocalypse because it talks about the end of time. It talks about how things are bad right now, but they're going to get even worse before the Messiah comes again. Apocalypse in Greek means an uncovering, a knowledge, a revelation. It has come to mean in our times a revelation about the end of time. Some Christians treat these writings and those found in, like, the book of Revelation and Daniel as precise predictions of the future and the end. But in Mark's gospel, this is a statement about what the end will look like, how God is at work in it, and how the Savior will come. Mark 13, if we go back before our reading this morning, it starts with Jesus foretelling the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which actually did happen at the hands of the Romans in 70 AD. Jesus then warns that we will see things like wars, earthquakes, famines. We will see believers being persecuted. We will see false messiahs and prophets who will come. And then in our verses today, Jesus continues by predicting the coming of the Son of Man. He's talking about himself. And he compares a budding fig tree nearing summer to our expectation of the Savior. He ends by reminding us to stay awake, for no one knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man will come again. It's all very mysterious and can be scary to think about the end times and the second coming and people suffering even more than they are suffering right now. So why are we starting our church year, the Christmas season, the Advent season, with these kind of readings about the end, a little apocalypse? This is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new church year, but it's also the beginning of our waiting and our watching for Jesus. So why talk about the end at the beginning? Well, what if the end Jesus is describing is actually the new beginning for all creation? When Jesus comes again in the midst of all the suffering on this earth, it will be an end to time as we know it, but it will be a beginning of eternal life with him forever. Something better than we could ever even imagine. Mark chapter 13, Little Apocalypse, is about the arrival of Jesus, the Christ child, for us, who has already appeared, and the second coming, which is yet to be seen. That's what kind of time we live in. The already and not yet. That's our time. The already and not yet. Jesus has already come, but not yet come again. So Advent always begins with these kind of end times readings from the Bible, because they remind us to be expecting something, hopeful, waiting and watching for the Savior. And just as I told the kids, Advent means coming, and because it is Jesus who is coming, we get to wait and watch in hope and faith. We use this color purple, as I told the kids, to talk about his royal birth, but it's also the color we use at Lent to talk about Jesus' passion. So we're also reminded that this is a time of preparation and even penance. Mark 13 happens in the gospel right before the story of Jesus' passion. The end of Jesus' life was also the sign of a new beginning. The end is the beginning. We're looking for Jesus who is already and not yet. This gospel of Mark was probably our first gospel. Matthew and Luke used Mark as a source for their gospels. It was likely written in the late 60s AD, which would have been written around the time of Nero's persecution of Christians and the Jewish revolt against Rome that ended with the complete destruction of the temple in the year 70. In other words, it was written during very difficult and scary times. Kind of like today. That can be very difficult and scary today. Teresa and I were just talking this week about the change in our culture, even over the past 10, 20 years, even just since I've been here. It used to be that Sundays were church days for most people, and that the ethics governing public behavior were drawn from Judeo-Christian morals, like the Ten Commandments, the Bible. But we've lost much of that these days, haven't we? Today's Sundays are not just church days. For many people, Sundays are days for shopping or leisure or working or sports. Our culture no longer reserves Sunday to be sacred for worship. And I don't even need to tell you how the ethics of public behavior seem to have changed. So where's the good news in all of this? Seems like a mess. Well, we are waiting for the return of Jesus, and we believe that he is coming back to make all things right again. We find that all throughout the Gospels, all throughout the New Testament writings, and even when we look back to the Old Testament prophets, we see that the Messiah, the Savior, is coming to redeem all creation. And so we wait with hope, and we wait with the Word of God that Jesus says will never pass away, the Word of God that tells us about the end of days and the beginning of eternal life with Jesus. Now that's good news. The other good news, as I see it in our culture, is that today Christians who are active in a church chose that. They chose it. In a world full of many other choices, you could be doing about 50 other things right now other than sitting here in this church. It means that people who are joining churches today and people who attend church today are usually doing it not just because it's the social thing to do, or it's the place to be seen, or the place to network. They are here because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are here because our faith is the foundation of our life. And we choose to participate in a Christian family of faith. That is great news, if you ask me. It's not to say that earlier generations of churchgoers were any less faithful. It's just to say that at one time, people were expected to be at church, and now that's not the case. Now it's a very conscious choice that people make in a world of other choices. And Advent is about that. Advent is about making those kind of choices. We choose at Advent who and what we are waiting and watching to see. We choose to be hopefully expectant for Jesus. And we choose to actively wait. We're not just sitting around. We're not sitting around, right? We're incredibly busy during this time of year. But in our faith, we're not just sitting around either. Passive waiting is kind of like you're waiting there for your bus to show up so you can get on and go on your way. Active waiting is what we're doing. And active waiting is kind of like the kids that hide around the corner in the hallway when mom and dad are like, you can't come out yet, you can't come out yet, on Christmas morning. And they're just like this because they can't wait to get in there and see what's come. That's active waiting. Active waiting is like the groom being so excited to see the bride coming down the aisle. That's the kind of waiting we have. And the wreath that we have reminds us of that waiting and that never-ending love of God. And it reminds us of the gifts of the Spirit, the hope, peace, joy, love. We believe as Christians that those are the gifts God brings to us at Advent, but they are also the gifts we're supposed to give to one another. As we wait, we are blessed with those gifts so that we can bless each other with those gifts. Now, talk about a way to get beyond the commercialization of Christmas. What if we all sat down and thought about how we could bring some hope and peace and joy and love to the people around us this year? What would that mean for our Christmas? Advent is about waiting for Jesus, but we choose how we wait, right? We can wait in fear about the end of time, in fear about the way our culture seems to be going downhill. We can wait in fear and anxiety, or we can wait in faith. Our world assumes we will wait in fear and anxiety. In fact, some churches, some Christians capitalize on that fear and anxiety about our world, our culture, the end of time, maybe even being left behind. But Jesus teaches us to wait in faith and hope. Sure, we are enduring tough times, and tough times are ahead, but we hold on to the promises of God found in the Bible. We hold on to the promise of Jesus coming again and the redemption of all creation. And we also hold on to the promise that God is at work in our crazy world right now, today. This Christmas, regardless of how chaotic it might seem, we know that Jesus came into the world announcing the kingdom of God, and he didn't say, and you're going to have to wait for a really, really, really long time for that kingdom. No, he announced the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has already started with Jesus coming to earth. We can find signs of that kingdom all around us, even though the kingdom has yet to be fully realized when he comes again. So we can watch and wait for God all around us. That's faithful, not fearful waiting. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We may not see God's hand all the time in our world, but we have faith that God is at work in our world and will bring it to redemption. So during Advent, we wait for the birth of Jesus. We wait for him to come again. And as we wait, we are awake. Keep awake to the presence of God all around you. We have to ask ourselves, when have we seen Jesus right around us? And where will we find him this Christmas? Remember that Matthew 25 reminder that whenever we serve the needy or the least of these, we are serving Jesus? That means we find Jesus in the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the prisoner, and in people whose hunger and thirst is less obvious, but just as real. We find Jesus in all of our neighbors. But how do we see that clearly in Advent? What if we have to stop? What if we have to stop long enough to really find him? What if we have to take a break in the middle of all the shopping, all the decorating, all of the meals, all of the chaos and stress? What if we have to stop and look and listen? That's what we're doing right now. That's why Advent worship is so special and important, because right now we are stopping, we are looking and listening for the Word of God and the presence of Jesus and the real meaning of Christmas. But there's another way that we stop in the middle of everything. We stop, ideally we stop a little bit every day, for some daily quiet time with God, some daily time to just pray, to read your Bible, to read a devotional, to just be alone with God and not only tell God everything you need, but also quietly listen for what Jesus has to say to you. Seeking God is not just another thing I'm telling you to add to your to-do list for Christmas. It's not like that. Instead, this is the very thing that helps everything else go smoothly. That worship, that quiet time, that's the thing that helps us prioritize everything in Advent. It helps us answer these questions at Christmas, like, what is really important? What should I be doing right now during this season? And what should I stop doing? Worship and time with God is also the thing that helps us interact with all those difficult family members, all that drama, all that hurt that so often accompanies Christmas. Any of you got any of that in your family? Because I know we sure do. If we're grounded, though, in our relationship with Jesus, it is so much easier to see people, even the most annoying, the most hurtful people, as children of God. And you know, that just might be one of the best Christmas gifts ever. Finding God in Advent helps us endure the suffering and trials and challenges around us. For we believe that our Savior was born into the world right in the middle of all that, in the middle of suffering, and that the suffering and trials that we face right now are nothing compared to the glory that awaits us one day. This week I read a great statement about the meaning of Christmas from Pastor Tim Keller. He said, if Jesus Christ is actually God come in the flesh, look at what God did to get to know you personally. Look at what God has done. If the Son would come all this way to become a real person, don't you think the Holy Spirit will do anything to make Jesus a real person to you in your heart? In other words, Christmas is an invitation from God. Look at what I've done to come near to you. So draw near to me. Look at what God has done to come near to us. He sent us Jesus. May we seek and find him this Christmas. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. Advent is our time of waiting and watching and faith and hope for Jesus. May we find him in our neighbors and faithfully wait until he comes again to redeem creation. In the name of the one who comes at Christmas, all God's people said, amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed.